Welcome to season two.
Welcome to Worship with Isaiah and Friends.
So, welcome back to Worship with Isaiah and Friends, season two, another episode for you guys. I am super happy to be back with you all. I hope you've enjoyed the first two episodes so far. I sure have. So be sure to keep your eyes out on the things that are coming. But today we have another friend of mine joining us today. How do I explain this person? I think this person was the way we became friends was quite interesting. It was never really a moment of going out of our ways to kind of talk to each other. It just happened. I think when you're in the same space as someone and you shared similarities and same qualities, it's natural that you become friends with these people. This person is very unique, has a lot that people don't really know about her. And I'm super excited to sit down and have this conversation with her today. So we have Rhoda with us today. So yeah, Rhoda, just thank you. Thank you for coming to join us today.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. I think, yeah, we tried to do this before. Yeah. And then circumstances didn't allow it. But I think this is the right time.
It is.
Because I think a lot has happened even since that point.
True. Yeah. A lot has happened. Yeah.
So for the people that don't know who you are and what you do, just give us a brief introduction about Rhoda.
Okay. So my name is Rhoda. I am a violinist. I'm mostly known for being a violinist. I'm so many other things. I'm a twin. I'm a sister.
What?
You didn't know I was a twin.
Did you say you're a twin?
Yeah, I am.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Every day is a school day.
It is, honestly. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a twin. I'm a sister to my non-twin sibling, I am a lot of things. Goodness me. I love Jesus, of course. I am training. I'm a clinician, but I'm training to go higher in healthcare ranking. Well, I say ranking, but understanding, I think, in knowledge, I think is probably the right word. I've gone from like paramedic training to now like being in medical school for 2 years. So that's kind of like how I spend my time. That's me. That's me in a nutshell. I hope that makes sense.
It does, definitely. But you forgot to mention that you are also a singer. And a lot of people don't know that, so I'm going to put it out there today. Okay. Rhoda's voice... Listen, Rhoda's voice, gosh, it caught me by surprise, because you know sometimes when people just play an instrument, they don't really get the opportunity to kind of sing or do whatever. But the day that I heard Rhoda sing, I said, whoa. I said, you are truly multifaceted. I said, cool. It blew my mind. Glory. You know, but yeah, we're going to get into that.
Okay.
We're really going to get into that, because you're more than just a violinist. Like,
true.
And people don't know the way you pray. They don't know. So that's what I'm saying. You're more than just a violinist to a lot of people. True. But I think today, because we're talking about worship and all of these things, we're going to look at the violinist part of Rhoda, the prayer part of Rhoda, the singing part of Rhoda that we don't really get to see. But yeah, I'm really, really excited to have you on here. So let's get straight into it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your first ever worship experience, if you can recall what that looked like.
I don't know if I can put an actual date to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I grew up in church. So the church I grew up in was really heavy on music.
Okay.
And they were really heavy on classical music, they were really heavy on hymns and things like that. So it was, especially back in those days, it was the quality and the standard of music was very, very high. So I remember having like quite tangible worship experiences from quite a young age, but in very, I think probably in a different setting to but in a different, sorry, way to other, like, I guess, like, other like, other African churches would look like.
Yeah.
So we had an organ, we had a choir and orchestra, and we didn't have drums. And it was a lot about the words that were being said in the hymns.
Yeah.
So that's what really used to get us into a place of prayer. So I think I probably had my first worship experience when I was very, very young. So yeah.
Okay. So how does the violin come into the picture? That's what intrigues me. If that's your sort of like first experience, how did that come about? Mm-hmm. Was it just something you did in school, or did you just pick it up from church?
Yeah, so it was because of church. So it was kind of an unspoken rule. But everybody from a young age, we all started to learn a classical instrument.
Oh, okay.
And the kind of normal thing, the norm for us was for the girls to learn the violin and for the boys to learn like some sort of B flat instrument. So like a trumpet, a cornet, like a euphonium, clarinet, that type of thing. So that's kind of like how I started. Yeah. So we had classes on a Monday evening. The church had like they had a music academy that was connected. And we also on Sunday afternoons, that's what we were basically trained up to do. So we were trained to read music, to play our instruments, and we were like taken through the classical grading system.
Okay.
As well. So that's how I kind of started learning how to play the violin. Right. And I think after the novelty wore off for a lot of us, I just kind of fell in love with it. So I just kept on doing it. Okay. So there were a couple of us that we just stayed on with it. And that's partly why I am the way I am now. So, right. Yeah.
When was that? What age did you start doing that? Because that's, yeah, that's.
Yeah. I want to say 5, maybe 6. Like I was very young. Yeah, I was very young. Like my violin was really small. It was like a quarter violin, so it was really tiny. My mum plays a violin, so she used to like teach me different things. And then when I got to a certain level, then we also started going to the academy where we had like professional musicians and music students teach us. And then it just kind of like spiraled from there, basically. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's really interesting. That's a lot of musical. So it seems like you've got a big background.
Yeah. Certainly. I think certainly unique. Definitely unique, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's really, really interesting. Okay, cool. So my next question or first kind of discussion would be, so what is worship to you?
That is a big question.
Yeah.
But in essence, I think worship is the expression of our hearts being the expression of God's heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's where we make our deepest desires felt to God. It's where God makes his deepest desires felt to us. He makes them known to us. I think if I had to summarize it, that's what I would say.
Okay.
I think for that reason, it's extremely vulnerable. That's why you see people in different vulnerable positions, and you see, because it's pure expression of our hearts, and God's response is God's response is equally as pure. So that's it's a really, really brief way to put it, I'd say.
Yeah. So in that sense, how do you essentially steward that as a musician, that understanding through your instrument?
So the first thing is that I try not to allow what I'm doing to affect my own worship, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I will do things like kneel if I feel like this moment specifically, if that moment specifically is for me. Does that make sense? Like I know I need to connect, but I know that I'm still required. So like I will kneel and allow God to speak to me as he's working through me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think, and sometimes it's just okay to just leave your instrument, just leave it and just let God talk to you. Cause we're not, I think sometimes like as musicians, sometimes it feels like we're outside we're outside of what's going on. Like we're partly what's causing what's going on.
Yeah.
But we're not, sometimes we're almost like we also don't engage in a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important to just have times when you know that this moment God is trying to do something. His presence is so tangible that I don't need to do anything. Like I don't need to play. I just need to experience what's happening. So
yeah.
Sometimes just got to drop your instrument and just let God do what he needs to do with you. But in terms of like being more involved, like in the moment, like playing and things, I think a really big thing that I do beforehand is actually just asking God, like what I'm doing there or like okay. what's going on in the environment I'm going into. Because I think lack of preparation can be really, it can make that situation a lot more challenging.
Yeah.
So if you're going into a place where there's God actually wants to do a lot of things, but you're not aware, the sound that you're releasing, because you're not in line with God, what God wants, you're just being disruptive. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or you're not, it's not properly expressing what God wants. Does that make sense? So,
yeah.
We know that there are certain things that are provoked by sound from a musician that carries the heart of God or who understands God's intentions. So I think it's really important for me to be somebody who asks God beforehand, like, what God, what do you want me to do? Like, what is this environment going to be like so that I can be prepared?
Exactly.
Does that make sense? Yeah, so sometimes absolutely. His response will be like songs or like scripture. Or it's very important for me to be also just be focused in the moment. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Like,
that's
really interesting because you've touched on a few points that we kind of wanted to look at, which is great.
Mm.
It's really good because I think lack of preparation, I think for worship leaders is already an error. I think I've touched on this in the last two episodes. In terms of the preparation aspect, but I think that probably looks quite similar for musicians.
Yep.
And that's obviously something that I think we'll speak about a bit later on how you guys prepare. We'll speak about it with Panim City Music.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I know you guys flow very well together. So there must be something that's going on there that I want to explore. But I think one thing I also want to kind of look at or ask you is how do you think as believers, as worshippers, that we can help our generation worship in spirit and in truth?
Good question.
And firstly, what does that look like as well? What does it look like to worship in spirit and in truth?
So I think the first thing, I've got so many things coming to my mind, so I'm trying to order them before I speak. I think one of the first things actually is consecration. That's okay. A really big thing. I think we have a thing of desiring, we want what God wants for us, but sometimes only if it comes with a platform.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Right.
So the preparation for like doing what God wants from you has to be consecration, and that must continue even whilst you're in that position. Does that make sense? So that's a very big thing. I think there's like this scripture, I think it's in Second Chronicles, and it talks about how like the priests, before they get together, They ministered in front of the congregation, they went into the holies of holies.
Mm.
And it says they consecrated themselves, everybody, regardless of their division, regardless of what they were meant to do.
Yeah.
So it reminds me that no matter what we are actually called to do, it doesn't matter what division, what department we're called to serve in, that God requires his priests to be consecrated.
Cool.
He requires them to actually be covered in his word, to be clothed with knowledge of his acts, of like what he desires from his people. Does that make sense? So that's a really big thing. And we see like in that in the, if you continue reading like through that like scripture, I think it's in 2 Corinthians, Chronicles 5. And then the one that we like, the verse that we like to quote the most is the one that says, and then the priest cannot stand to minister for the weight of God's glory, right? Mm. But it only happened because they desired to consecrate themselves, because they wanted to be pure before God. So the very first thing that they did was make themselves available to God before they made themselves available to other people. Before we desire a platform, we must desire him. Even after we get the platform, we must still desire him.
Yeah.
Even if the platform goes away, I still have the same desire for him. I must still like long after him. Does that make sense? That's the thing. Like, I don't want to look like I'm longing after him. I actually want to long after him. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because what everybody, I've realized that what we like about worship leaders is not actually them. It's God's expression through them. Does that make sense? Like, what I'm looking at when I admire this person is not actually them. It's actually God. Yeah, I love their skill. Like, it's amazing. But actually what we're seeing is a reflection of their consecration, what they've done beforehand. Right. Does that make sense? So that's something that we really need to understand. It doesn't matter about, yes, there should be acknowledgement of what God has actually called you to do. If he's called you to be whatever he's called you to be, that is fantastic. But the way to prepare yourself to be that thing is to consecrate yourself beforehand.
Yep.
Does that make sense? Yep. To make yourself available to God. The only way that he will equip you for any of those things, the foundation is essentially the same.
Yeah.
Make yourself available to God. So that's the big thing. If I was going to tell anyone in this generation, make yourself available to God.
Yeah.
First and foremost.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Availability.
Yeah.
It's key. It's key. Yeah. I think for us as believers, as worshippers, we have this idea of, like you said, oh yeah, we want a platform, we want this and that, but yeah, you can have a platform, but the thing that you're displaying on that platform, is it coming from him?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So the lack of consecration, the lack of preparation, the lack of asking him,
yeah,
what are we doing today?
Right.
You know, because we can all sing.
Mm-hmm.
Worship leaders, we can sing, but are we singing from ourselves, or are we singing from the depths of him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at the end of the day, all glory goes onto him, not onto man.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're not prepared, if you're not ready, if you haven't spent time with him, I think it boils down to intimacy. That's where we can download sounds from heaven from. We're not going to just rock up into service. Yeah, I mean, God might do it.
Yeah.
But
sure.
You have to go away, prepare yourself for those moments,
mm-hmm.
you know, for anything. Like I was saying in a previous episode, that when it comes to preparing for a ministration or something, people often give you like the theme of the event or whatnot. And then you go away and you sit down and sit with God and be like, okay, cool, God, what do you want me to sing today?
Yeah.
What do you want me to give them today? Rather than me singing songs that we know is going to ginger people, is going to make people excited and have that feeling.
Yeah.
We don't want to do feelings anymore. Mm. We want to do instructions. Mm. We want to do the heart of Jesus through our ministration, through our worship. And that's kind of even my desire moving forward, just in everything that we're going to be doing on this platform, is allowing people to become compelled by his love and to become so in love with him that their reflection is him.
Good.
You know, their worship reflects him.
Yeah.
You know, we want to be in a room and for people to encounter him through our worship, not just gather people for the sake of gathering people.
Yeah.
Like, it's not about, oh, we've got this special guest or we've got that person. No agenda, just Jesus through the worship.
Yeah.
You know, and that's always been something I've noticed and wanted to kind of convey to this generation, because I feel like we're getting to a point where people desire platforms now.
Yeah.
And God is like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell you to go to that ministration.
Right.
I didn't give you the green light, you know? But yeah, it's really interesting to worship in spirit and in truth. It's not easy. But if you're spending time, if you're intimate with him, it becomes easy.
Mm.
It becomes really easy.
Absolutely.
And for you as a as a minister, how do you navigate those hard times of, you know, you're playing on a Sunday and you know your weeks might not have been the best week, but you still have to, you're still on the rota. There's no other violinist in the church, yeah, but you still have to play. How do you navigate that feeling? How do you push past that?
It's actually, so it's something that I've learned how to do. I'm still, to an extent, learning how to do, if that makes sense. I think keeping God involved in the difficulty is a really key thing that I've learned how to do. I'm still learning how to do. I think there's this. The thing is, like, so with difficult times, like with challenging circumstances, they have a way of making us feel like we don't have capacity, or we don't have time, or we don't have what it takes to be able to engage with God. Does that make sense? So I think I've found ways that work for me to be able to talk to God during times like that.
Cool.
Does that make sense? So it may look like a lot more like journaling rather than actually saying things out loud.
Yeah.
And it might look like a lot more singing rather than like kind of what you would class as on, like, if you've ever seen me pray, what I would normally look like. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, so it takes on different forms. And sometimes just knowing actually also when I need to push through it, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, to know that actually the reason that this week has been is like this is by design.
Yeah.
Like, it's because it's to make me feel like I'm weak. It's to make me feel like I can't serve. It's to make me feel like I just really need like to sit down. And do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's to make me withdraw from service. So sometimes also know just when to push through, and you'll find, and I'll find that like, as I do that, oftentimes like it'll break free.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of like how I tend to manage things like that. And sometimes you can still feel terrible and go there and still serve. And God is merciful.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, God gives strength. He gives power. He gives unction. Does that make sense? So it's not, even in the times where you feel like you should not be doing this, like in the times I feel like I shouldn't be doing it, I still do it because there's something for me in my service to God. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just always about other people. As I serve God, there's something in it for me.
Yeah.
So
very good. Very good. So even with that, how do we stop the idea of worship being a routine or a in services, and how do we kind of push past that and help it make it become a lifestyle for us? Mm. As a musician, how do you do that?
Good question. So again, it kind of goes back to asking God, what do you want from today? Like, okay, asking God, what do you want from this service? Because I think we have, so I think worship becomes routine a lot of times when we don't have interest in what God has to say anymore.
Cool.
Does that make sense? So there are times when, for example, like whenever we go to church every week, what makes it different is what God has to say about that week. Does
yep.
that make sense? What makes it different is what God has to say about his people. If not, it will just become a routine thing. It will become something that there's never any change. Like, it's the same thing. Does that make sense? So I think it's our desire to actually know God, what God wants from us, what God actually wants to do with his people. So when I'm going somewhere, like I'm going into church or somewhere, like I want to have an understanding of what God wants so that I can move accordingly. Does
yeah.
that make sense? That's the really, honestly, that's a really, really big thing I would probably say. Make a routine. And another way I think is probably just because it's routine doesn't mean it has to be boring. Does that
right,
make sense?
Okay.
It doesn't have to be terrible. There are certain things that are routine that don't feel bad. Does
yeah.
that make sense? So I think part of our relationship with God, I don't think our relationships with God are meant to be what's the word? I don't think it's meant to be mundane. Does right. that make sense? Yeah. I think there's so much about our relationship with God that can actually be really exciting. Okay. God loves to gist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, who else would I? It's there is so much. Like, God is. There is so much, the depth of God is actually really exciting. Do you know what I mean? Like, so there is something, I think it's only as boring as we want to. There are times of course, like, you're just like, I don't feel like I want to do this. But a lot of times, like, we'll find that, like, when you open the Bible, like, and you'll see that it feels like things are coming alive. Like, the word is coming alive. It feels so relevant. And you see, like, there's so much depth in that scripture,
yeah.
or there's so much, like, depth in what God has said to you about that service. Like, that doesn't feel mundane. Does that make sense? Like, God's voice, God's instructions, like, God's intimacy with us, like, doesn't have to be mundane. Like, yeah. does that make sense? It can be, it's our relationship with God is dynamic. Yeah. Does that make sense? He's dynamic. We're dynamic. Like, it doesn't have to be flat or one dimensional. Like, we can ask God. We ask God questions. We ask him why. We ask him what if. We ask him what do we do. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's well-rounded. It's just like any other relationship we would have. It can be routine, but it doesn't have to be mundane for sure. Yeah.
Very good. Nice. That's great. No, that's been really, really good. Okay, cool. I think that rounds up the first set of questions I had.
Okay.
But now we're going to do something a bit more lighthearted, just to kind of keep you on your toes.
I'm nervous, man. I don't know.
So we're just going to play a little game. It's called This or That.
Okay.
So the first one is, do you prefer praise or worship? And from the perspective of you playing.
Oh, from me playing?
Yeah.
Worship, 100%.
Okay. Why?
Because I just want to dance during praise. It just, you know, I want to spin. I want to grab someone's hand. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I don't want to be holding my instrument during those times.
Yeah. Have you kind of had moments where it's like you're playing for a praise set or whatever, and it's like, I just want to put this thing down and dance a lot.
There have been times when I've definitely put it down. I've definitely, like, whenever we're doing, for example, like, African praise, like, I might pray for a little bit,
and then that's
but it. Eventually I'll just bring my little, I always have a bit of anchor on me for some, like, because I've got
you
some.
You actually do.
I do.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's so true. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's fantastic. And I've got, like, the thing that covers my violin, the one I use at church, is covered by Ankara.
Okay.
So, like, I'll just whip it out and just
start throwing it in the air.
Honestly, and just start, like, turning around. Like, it's just great, honestly. Yeah. So, yeah, after a while, I'll just be like, and especially because it's, I just weigh up with if I feel like I'm needed. Does that
right.
make sense?
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah. So, that like, if sense. I don't feel like I'm needed for, like, a particular part of African praise, yeah. then I feel like I can just,
you can,
like,
just go about your business.
Yeah, absolutely. Just dance, come back breathless is great.
Cool. Okay, the next one. This one is always an interesting one for people.
Mm.
CCM or just straight gospel?
That's weird. I don't know which one to pick because I didn't grow up with any of them.
Oh, okay.
So,
and obviously now, yeah, we left. We already know.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we know.
If I had to pick, you know what? Oh, this is hard. This is hard. Can I say both? Is that, I know this is, I'm ruining the game. I'm sorry.
Gosh. You have to pick one.
Has to pick one.
Yeah.
Hey. For this period, for this, like, this time I'm in, I would say gospel.
Cool.
Yeah.
Would you say CCM was ever kind of like your go-to at some point? Or has it always been gospel? Because a lot of people tend to say, I mean, there was a time where I was just straight CCM. Like, straight CCM.
Yeah. We've, like, all been there.
We've been there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, it's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But now, I don't think I've, it's been, I think I listened to a CCM song yesterday. And that was like the first time I listened to one in such a long time.
Is it?
Yeah. Hmm. Like I went back to listen to Stephanie Gretzinger's set at Jesus, Jesus 19, I want to say. Hmm. And I was like, whoa, I've really missed this. Because now all we listen to is Theophilus Sunday. We just like, that's all we do now. Do you get what I'm saying? I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just want to sit there and listen to like a, like an upper room and you're just,
yeah,
you're just floating in the clouds. Like, you know, that type of vibe. Yeah. But now it's, you know,
yeah,
but it's great.
Yeah.
It's do great.
You know what? I can't even, I can't lie. I don't listen very much to Theophilus Sunday.
You don't?
I don't. Like, I don't, like, in my, in general, I don't do a lot of chanting. Like, as it, do you know what I mean? It. I don't consume a lot of it. I think, and like, I think people that are kind of like attached to that kind of thing, like, I don't really, I don't know why that's the case. Or it's probably because of the, maybe the period I'm in right now, because I did used to. I think there are periods like where I really need it and there are periods where I really don't.
Yeah,
so
sure.
it's I've just come out of a whole CCM like period. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I feel, it was, you, amazing, man.
It's,
and full disclaimer, I'm not even completely out. Do you know what I mean? I'm still
there, just a little bit.
Yeah, still just there. A little bit. I can't even lie. So yeah, but there's certain chants, for example, that I have only heard when I've got to church. I'm
okay.
Like, this is new. Like every, you know what? Scratch that. Every single chant that like I've ever heard has been from church, because yeah. I don't know why I don't really seem to be tapped in.
No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
because you know, like, to be fair, a lot of people only kind of knew about him and these guys because of church.
True, it's true. Like, they do.
When yeah. Pastor F1, Michaela, Pastor Paul, when they start singing these songs, everyone looks at them like,
I thought they made it up. I was, yeah, like, this is
then,
great.
What I was doing at one point when I first came to Panim and stuff, I was like, I'll be like to Pastor F1, is that an original song or is that someone else's song? So then she'll send it to me and I'll be like, rah.
Yeah.
So I've been missing out on something.
Exactly. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
But it's really interesting. It's so interesting how the type of music we listen to changes in seasons.
Very true. Yeah,
it's a very interesting one.
Yeah, especially for us, like in our church, like there are so many songs that come from opening prayers. So I used to be like, so whose song
is this one this? Today?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, so someone would say the words in opening prayers, and then like somebody, whoever's leading worship, will make a song from it, or somebody who's leading prayers will actually sing the song.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is great.
It's amazing.
These are all Panim originals.
I love it. No. Then when you go back online, you know what I used to do? This is what I used to do. When I hear something in church, yeah, I'll go on Google, I'll type in the lyrics, thinking I'm gonna see like F4B come up or something like that.
No.
I see Sumi Sola.
Yeah.
I see Abby.
Abby Ojomu.
And I'm like, yo, what is going on here? I thought this was your song, Pastor F1. Like, what's going on?
I'm seeing Apostle Oropa.
Do you get what I'm saying? I'm like, whoa, okay.
I was like, first of all, who is that?
I was like, who are you?
Yeah,
who are you?
For real.
You know, like that, the Africans are, they're doing their thing, man.
Yeah.
They're really stomping.
Truly.
They're praying. They're singing, you know, but it's exciting, man. It excites me. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, this is an interesting one as well. UK or US gospel?
UK or US? Okay, I hate to say it, but US. I do hate to say it. And I hate to say it because I have like a UK gospel playlist that I have devoured. But I think it's just where I am right now.
Mm.
And I'm just aware of the fact that I love UK gospel. There is so much in the UK.
Yeah.
So I'm very intentional with making sure that I'm actually consuming what's coming from this land.
Yeah, for you.
So yeah, but yeah, I'd probably say for now, US gospel.
Cool. Yeah. All right. And finally, one question I have for you. If you could have your ideal group to play with and a few people to lead, not because of favoritism, or just because of like moments you've had with people in worship, who would you want to sort of have like to play alongside you on a, let's say you want to do a worship night for your birthday,
okay.
And you're like, you get to pick, you get to decide the band, and you get to pick three people to lead worship on the night. Who do you pick? It can be anyone, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be like, it doesn't have to be people from the UK. It can be someone that inspires you in the scene. Yeah.
Okay. In terms of violinists, let's start there.
Yes.
Okay. So it would be Theophilos Agaga. If you don't know him, just gonna take this time, Theo, forgive me. But Theo is any song that you've probably heard from Nigeria that has a violinist on it, it's most likely Theophilos Agaga.
Cool.
So for example, if you ever heard the Yeshua Hamashiach Overture, that's Theo.
Okay.
If you ever heard No So We Raise a Sound, that's him.
Yeah.
If you've ever heard that song by Abi Ajomu, the one that says You Cover Me, that's him as well.
Cool.
So he's got like, he's excellent.
He's that guy.
Yeah, he's that guy. For sure. And then on the other hand, for personal number one has to be a violinist I know called Anu.
Okay. I remember Anu.
She is excellent when it comes to, yeah, her tone is absolutely beautiful. Her understanding of things of God is like, it really just informs so much of what she does.
Mm.
So I'd have to pick those two violinists first of all. Secondly, but with actually like with other musicians, I would say Samuel Bella.
Cool.
Samuel Bella, just like on any instrument he plays, like, or on as a, just somebody who sings, oh, excellent, like, just excellent. The way he leads a band, the way he leads people into the presence of God, just great, amazing. But I could have him on keys very easily.
Cool.
Do you know what I mean? Very easily. Like, he's so good at it. Bass, it would have to be, oh my gosh, this is way harder than I thought it would be. But there's so many names going through my head right now. Easily, Pastor Alex.
Cool.
So easy. Pastor Alex for Guitar President, please. Great. Gosh. This is really...
It is difficult, isn't it?
Very difficult.
It makes you think.
It really
when
does.
When I had the other two people on, they were like, oh.
Yeah. Ooh.
This is tough.
This is very tough. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, drums I could go easily. Drums, Kanan.
Cool.
Has to be Kanan or Aaliyah. Like, one of the two of them. Fantastic. Gosh. Singers. I don't know if I can keep it to three.
Yeah.
Scary.
Okay, you know what? One person.
One?
Yeah, because that makes it harder for you. So now you have to be like, okay, cool. Let me just pick one person to run it for the...
The whole thing.
Yeah. Just one person. What's the first name that comes to your mind?
I don't even have, like, I'm thinking of three names at one time.
All right, cool. Say the three names. The three names that came to your head.
Three names. Yeah. Okay. Pastor Paul Adet.
Cool.
First of all. Pastor FY.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not even free. just get me hot, Marvin. Like,
you got one more. Just, you got one more name.
Hey, one more.
Yeah.
And I can't just like make them a combo.
Okay.
Yes. Fabulous. Cool.
Cool. Make them a combo, innit?
A combo.
You've decided.
Okay. I'm going to do a combo, right? We're going to do it in quick succession. We're going to have Grace, then we'll have Michaela, then we'll have David. Like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
I know. This is hard.
It's hard to, because there's so many people that are like, whoa.
Yeah.
That just... doing
excellent at what
they're excellent. But I mean that would be nice.
It would be great.
That would be nice, to be
it
fair.
Would be great.
That would be nice. Cool. Okay. Nice. I would come to that.
Yeah.
I would
right?
come to that. Yeah. Yeah. I would Literally. Be there. Cool. Okay. Let's talk PCM.
PCM.
Let's talk PCM. So how did you guys get to that place of understanding each other and what God is doing in you all?
So there's, first of all, communication is the very first thing. So during rehearsals, we used to, we'd have to talk about, well, we communicate in terms of understanding like what, how the person leads. Does that make sense? So Michaela, how does Michaela lead? Like, how does Pastor Effa lead? How does Grace lead? Like, how do they do things so I can pick up my cues, first of all.
Cool.
And then second thing is practice.
Yeah.
So it would be running through like harmonies, making sure they're tight, like going through that, literally to like right down to like how close we should be holding our mic to our mouths, like in relation to how loud your voice is naturally. Like we discuss it. And Michaela brought it. Michaela, who's the head of PCM, she made it kind of like a practice of sending us the recordings from the Sunday before, so we would hear what we sounded like.
Okay.
And so I can hear myself on the violin. You can hear every single singer. You just know, like, does that make sense? And some Sundays it wouldn't be as good as other Sundays. And it would give us like a, it would give us an understanding of what we actually need to work on.
Yeah.
So yeah, really big thing. And then spiritually, I think teaching has been a big thing. There are times even in rehearsals where we haven't had rehearsals and we've just had to have like frank conversations about like where we're all at, you know what I mean, like emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and just kind of, and do a lot of encouraging, do a lot of lifting up, do a lot of things like that. I think the way me, if I'm talking to you right now, it like this confidently, it's because I've had a lot of prayer over me. I've had a lot of like building up.
Yeah.
I've had a lot of support, encouragement to make me this way. So that was a really big thing. So I think, and there still is like a lot of intention behind growing us, and so we have an understanding of what we're actually doing. Cool. Like we're not just here. I'm not just here as a BV, for example.
Right. Okay.
But I'm here. I'm a worship leader. As I'm standing here, like what I would call BVing, there's an expectation that I should know what to do. Does that make sense?
Right.
And one of the beautiful ways we've actually seen this come through is, for example, somebody is that, like, honestly, the very first thing that comes to my mind is, for example, there was a day where Grace was leading, but she started to pray instead. And one of the BVs lifted up a song, and we had like a whole, and it really just brought the whole moment together. And we started, it was like a chant. It was amazing. But that's because we've had a lot of teaching and understanding into like how to navigate a moment and exactly how to express it through song. If that makes sense.
Exactly.
So, and to make us feel like, to make us understand that actually we're not just here to like sing in unison when someone says one and sing in harmony when someone says three.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like how we've kind of done things. So yeah, that's probably what I'd say. Yeah.
Cool. I know we spoke on prayer briefly, but what does that look like for you guys as a collective, in terms of your preparation and your growing with each other? Because I mean, one thing I know is that you guys spend a lot of time in prayer together before and after services. How has that impacted the way that your ministrations have gone on a Sunday or even when you're outside elsewhere?
Mm-hmm. I think it gives us a chance to lay a lot of things down. That's a really big thing. I think the culture that we have, like in the family that houses the music team, is that we share what we believe, like God is saying, especially like during like prayer meetings and things like that. Like we are encouraged like to share, this is what God is, what I feel like, this is what God is saying, and like we weigh up together. So it's a very common thing, like that, like as we're doing prayers, like there will be like space left. This is something we used to do where there'll be like space left if anybody wants to add anything, if anybody feels like God is saying something specifically for us. And that's how like we would share, like we would like weigh up and we would agree and take it in prayer. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that was a really big thing. And we found that like incorporating prayers onto a Sunday, even with the musicians as well, like has proved to be, and the family as a whole as well, like has proved to be something that is really, really effective for us. In terms of us actually being moving as a unit.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Great. Because within worship, we know that prayer is key, and prayer has to become our lifestyle. I think they work hand in hand. Yeah. You know, it helps us. It helps us because sometimes we tend to sit and think, it's just about the music. It's just about the moments. But that time away in prayer and as a collective, like you said, it kind of brings you all together as one, because you're hearing X, Y, and Z. That person's hearing X, Y, and Z. And then when it all comes together, I'm fine. One thing I love about God is that He doesn't always give. Let's say He wouldn't just give you the full picture in that moment. He'll give you part of it. He'll give Michaela part of it. He'll give Pastor Paul part of it. He'll give Canaan part of it. He'll give Pastor Alex part of it, you know? And then it all comes together and you see that unfold on a Sunday morning, you know? And it's always, that will always come from the consecration, the time spent together, the prayer, the honest conversations. Like, okay, this is what I believe God is saying to us for this season. Because the answers are not always going to be the same every single season. Yeah. It might be similar, but there may be moments where He's taking you down a different road than you're. And if you don't spend time with each other, if you don't pray together, if you don't share what you believe God is saying, 5 could go this way, 3 could go that way.
Yeah,
and that's why we have to be one. Mm-hmm. The prayer I think is, and you see that, you see that.
Yeah.
You see it manifested on a Sunday service or during a midweek or wherever you guys go. If you're called out to a ministration in a different, to an event or whatever, you see it. And people always tend to be like, oh, raw, like you lot are crazy people. Like, because they think, why do you guys move the way you move? The results are there.
Yeah.
Because of the prayer, because of the intentionality, because of the intimacy that you guys all share together. And that kind of just leads on to my next question that I had for you personally. When you go out to minister, or even on a Sunday after service, because you're very good at what you do, how do you not become prideful from the praise that you get from people? Because people will always praise you for what you do. How do you remain grounded?
So I have been in the past, definitely. I have been in the past, but I think what brought me back down to earth was the understanding that God doesn't actually need me.
Mm.
He doesn't need any of us. He doesn't need me. I'm not entitled to serving Him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I'm not entitled to playing. I'm not entitled to doing any of this kind of stuff. Does that make sense? And if I truly want to see Him, if I truly want to see Him exalted, like in anything that I'm offering to Him, it needs to be from a place of humility.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, there's a scripture that says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and in due time He lifts you up in honor.
Yeah.
Like, there is, for me to have gotten to this point, like, it had to require certain level of humility.
Very good.
And just understanding that, honestly, He doesn't, it's humbled me so many times, just understanding that God doesn't need me. Like, I'm not like the missing part of, I'm not the missing piece to His glory being revealed or made manifest. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I'm not, if He chooses to use me, that is amazing. But if I don't play again, God is still gonna be magnified. It's still gonna be. Do you know what I mean?
God, like, still be God. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't. Yes, I can give something. Yes, I can release a sound that causes God to move. Yeah, but I'm not the missing ingredient. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's a really big thing for me that I've come to understanding, and just knowing that it doesn't, this is going to sound like it's a very specific sound of phrase, but it doesn't smell good in God's presence. Does that make sense?
Cool.
Yeah. Like, so when we offer like sacrifice to God, it says, do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like it's a savor. Like it's fragrant to him. Yeah. Anything that is injected into that, anything that I've added on top of that, that is about me and has absolutely nothing to do with him, even if I thought was about, even if I thought it was about him, it smells really bad to him. It smells terrible. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like, so yeah, that's the really big thing. And yeah, just coming to understanding that actually sometimes it's really easy to like release a sound, and people can swear they felt God and his angels just surrounding them. Do you know what I mean? But in reality, God was like,
yeah, man.
Do you know what I mean? Like, in reality, God was like, no. Like, yeah. do you know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's just like, it's something that I try really hard. I try to be very intentional about. I definitely say.
Wow. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what is one piece of advice you would give to any musician listening to this right now, just based off your experiences in the past and your journey with Christ as a minstrel, as a psalmist?
Yeah. Okay. This is probably going to be really specific, but let intimacy, let consecration meet skill. It is not acceptable for you to be bad at your instrument. Does that make sense?
Cool.
And by that, I think like, so I believe that our standard of like, I think our standard of skill when it comes to like worship and when it comes to the church things is often quite limited.
Yeah.
And it doesn't compare to what is outside. And I just really believe that we should continue to grow your skill. It doesn't matter however you choose to do that, mm-hmm. but put in the practice and put in the work, because God requires your best.
Correct.
Does that make sense? Yeah. He requires your best, not just in terms of like, he requires your time and he requires for you to give him an audience, but like he actually requires for you to be the best that you can be at your instrument. So whatever you need to do to improve your voice, whatever you need to do to make sure that you don't miss the note that you constantly miss every week, do it. Does that make sense? Cool. Because God requires your best. Does that make sense? And I think like sometimes as musicians, like sometimes we can get away with a lot because there's no alternative option. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Like you're often, especially if you're in a church of a particular size, you're one of one. Does that make sense? There's nobody else apart from you.
Yeah.
So we just have to take what's being given. But no, like give God your best. God requires your best. Like, and we like to talk about psalmists like David, for example. But the one thing that was said about David was that he was a man of skill. The Bible says it's in Second Samuel, in the same scripture where they're looking for someone to a musician to cast out the demon out of Saul, the evil spirit. And he says, and the servants of Saul's servants, they say, we know of David. He is a skillful musician. He is a man of war and the Lord is with him. So he's consecrated. He is known to be something, to be someone who can withstand warfare, but he's also really skilled at what he does.
Yeah.
So he has been, does that make sense? Like they could have mentioned so many other people, but he was known to be someone who was skillful. Anytime that we're looking at people in, for example, the musical Levites, the musical priests in Second Chronicles, they're known for their skill. That's the thing, that's how they got picked. It was because of their skill. So God requires your skill. Does that make sense? Like our sound should not be put to shame because we don't have the skill.
Right.
Does that make sense? Like it should rival anything that's in the world.
Right.
Does that make sense? And I think it's probably, this is probably going to be controversial, but it's probably why a lot of people like US gospel more than UK gospel. Does that make sense? Because like, it feels like there's a limitation. Yeah, tell me I'm wrong. But because, you know what I mean? Because I was like, tell me I'm wrong. Because to be fair,
no,
like,
I hear you.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Because it feels like there's a cap, like there's a limit, or there's something we seem to lack in the UK.
Right.
But like,
oh my gosh. Oh my days.
Whenever we have American musicians come on here, like come to the UK, everyone's like, wow.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be like, wow. It's achievable. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's achievable.
We can like, do the exact same thing.
Do you know what I mean? Hone your craft.
Yeah.
Hone your craft. It's so important. Like, and you will see that the musicians that are head and shoulders above other people, it's because they've honed their craft. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
People, for example, the ambassadors honed their craft.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? Like, hone your craft. It's very important. However, you need to do that if it means, whatever it means, like, hone it. So that's really important. I really feel like it sounds like I came unnecessarily for people.
No, that was
so important.
It's key.
Yeah.
It's key. Like we're not mediocre. We're never called to be mediocre.
No.
So why are we going to go up there on a Sunday and just be average?
Right.
When we can be excellent. Absolutely. Like, we literally have the spirit of excellence within us.
Absolutely.
So let your craft also become excellent.
Yeah.
And then obviously I feel like we always say these spiritual things, but sometimes practically take the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Like people in the world, like these mega stars, they practice, they rehearse.
True.
But for us, sometimes we just be like, oh yeah, it's calm. We can just go there on a Sunday and it'll be good.
Just show up.
But these people, why can't we replicate the exact same thing by just practically doing the work?
Yeah,
you know, so I think that's a great piece of advice that people need to drill into their minds. Yeah. You know, we want to say that we're spiritually excellent, but physically, are we excellent?
True. Honestly, I always like, I really believe that God is glorified in technique. Like this is why we all scream, like when you hear a run, do you know what I mean? Like someone does a run or riff and you just want to fall through the ball. Do you know what I mean? Like God is glorified in technique, he's glorified in our skill.
Yeah.
So it's important for us to be skillful.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Rhoda, this has been amazing. But can you just say a prayer for everyone watching this into there? Just say a prayer for everyone watching this, and just give them a blessing for this time.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for you have called us to be priests. You have called us to serve into your house. You have called us to be excellent. You have called us to reach a biblical standard of priesthood. And so, Father, I pray today that we would attain that level. Father, we pray, oh God, that there would be something within us, that there would be a desire, oh God, for us to reach your standard. For that we will never allow ourselves to be less than. We will never allow ourselves to be average. We will never allow ourselves to be mediocre. Father, we pray that we would be a people, oh God, that would truly desire the excellence. We would truly desire the excellence that is part of your person. That we would truly desire the best things of you, oh God. We pray that we would put work, oh God, into the things that you have gifted us with. Father, we pray that we would begin to excel in whatever giftings that you have given to us, that we would excel musically, that we would excel in whatever you have, whatever department, whatever place that you have put us in, that we would excel. Oh God, we pray that we would desire you, oh God, in the secret place. We pray that you would no longer long for our presence, but you would be satisfied with what we are giving you. We pray that we would constantly long after your glory, that there would never be a time where you will have reason to ask us, where are you? But Father, we would be a people that would sit in your presence and and we will wait on you for answers. We will wait on you for power. We will wait for you for glory. We will wait on you for unction. We pray that we would be a people that would be truly empowered by your word, that we would be sanctified by your truth, that, oh God, that it will not be because that we have lifted ourselves up that we end up in the positions that we do, but it's because we have consecrated ourselves before you. It is because we have humbled ourselves in your sight. It will be because we have desired you more than we have desired all other things. We pray, oh God, that our main focus, that our one objective would be to see you and to see your name high and lifted up. Father, I pray over every single person that is watching this, that, oh God, there would be something that is stirred within them, oh God, that would send them back to a place of prayer, that you would return us back to a place of discipleship, that we would return into our roles of sonship before we desire to be ministers, before we desire to be ambassadors, before we desire to be used of you in any way, that we, oh God, would desire you, that we would desire your presence, your glory. We desire to be changed into a reflection of something that is more like you. And oh God, we pray that in every aspect of our lives, that you would be glorified. May there be no pride found amongst your people. May there be no arrogance. May there be no semblance of self that is found in us. But God, we pray that we would continually decrease and that you would increase. Oh God, that your glory would be seen more and more in us. That the more we spend time in your presence, that our countenance would change, that our understanding of what it is that you have called us to would increase. Oh God, take the glory in everything that we do. Oh God, take the glory. Take the glory, yes, in God. Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Rhoda, thank you so much. Thank you for coming on. And that's a wrap, guys. It's been another episode, season 2. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe. And we'll see you on the next episode. Take care. Peace.